This is a two-front war, and it's a war we're going to win on both fronts. But make no mistake, the best way to make sure we protect our homeland is to succeed by bringing the terrorists abroad who try to strike us to justice.
Barbara, what's in this new anti-terrorism bill that would presumably help investigators get to the bottom of all of this?
Right. There's a lot in this bill. Attorney General John Ashcroft absolutely loves it. He said, the hour this thing is signed, I'm going to instruct law enforcement how to use these new powers.
This is The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Being able to trace email conversations or email messages from place to place, making it easier to surveil people for terrorist purposes, for intelligence purposes. One of the interesting things I think we're going to see that will immediately affect this investigation is the sharing of information between the intelligence gatherers, the CIA, the NSA, and other places, and the FBI. What they've done is they've lowered the wall between the two, which means, for example, as one high-level Justice Department person said yesterday, we have files. The intelligence people have files that they are ready to hand over to the criminal people. What that means is they can take that, and suddenly they have a lot of new leads.
That was way back. How far back? 2001 back. That was PBS talking about this new thing that was coming along. Notice they didn't even use the word Patriot Act yet. Oh, I'm going to give you a little Patriot Act refresher, and I really feel like I'm doing one of my first shows back in 2005 at the oldest station west of the Mississippi. Yeah, old KFKA in Greeley, Fort Collins was on the air in 1922. And when I started doing my late night, by late night, I mean 10 p.m. till 1 a.m., right? Show out there. The Patriot Act was such a big deal for me, and there were a lot of late night Northern Colorado conservative ranchers that would listen and call up and how would GW ever do anything to hurt America? And I would disagree, and I'd say back to them on the air that this can and will be used against Americans in the future. Don't believe the name of this act. Oh, it sounds good. An act that makes you a patriot? Where do I sign up? That sounds really, really swell. Well, that was passed so quickly. I mean, that was passed when, was it the arsenic or cyanide was being mailed to Congress people's offices right after 9/11, the week or two after? It was arsenic, I think. I don't know, but it was like poison beam. I mean, everybody was freaking out. They didn't have time to sit down and read a 4,000-page act that was, I guess, was it written after 9/11? Do you think it was, or do you think they kind of had it kind of written with kind of fill in the blank with whatever they need to put in there, right? You can go back for the Project for the New American Century. You can go back to 2000, right before 9/11. You can see Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld all talking about what eventually became the Bush foreign policy. So I don't know when they had enough time to sit down and write those 4,000 pages, but man, it came along. And at that time, I said, man, the Patriot Act could be used by the DOJ, the FBI, to go after Americans if they didn't agree with them. And I go, I wouldn't want it to go after my enemies. That's not right. And I remember saying all of this. I could go back through a plastic bin and go through those. Remember those reams of CDs with the pole in the middle? You'd have about 50 of them stacked up. I know I have many shows with Patriot Act, written in black marker on this. And, it was to go after terrorists. That's why. And I said, well, who's going to say sometimes if you were saying, hey, abortion's wrong or we need to stop the border overflow that you're a terrorist, right? A domestic terrorist. Well, here we are. The Patriot Act was passed September 11th, 2001, and it was to strengthen domestic security. Gave a lot of power to law enforcement agencies. They could do things that they couldn't do before. And who would be against breaking up terror cells? I would never be against breaking up genuine terror cells or genuine domestic terror cells. Of course, I mean, who's going to not say that they don't want the government to be able to do this? But this was a list that had been previously put before Congress and rejected even before Bush, and when this was signed in September 11th here.
This new law that I signed today will allow surveillance of all communications used by terrorists, including emails, the internet, and cell phones. This bill met with overwhelming agreement in Congress because it upholds and respects the civil liberties guaranteed by our Constitution. This legislation is essential not only to pursuing and punishing terrorists, but also preventing more atrocities in the hands of the evil ones. The bill before me takes account of the new realities and dangers posed by modern terrorists. It will help law enforcement to identify, to dismantle, to disrupt, and to punish terrorists before they strike.
Now, in the months following 9/11, I listened with everybody. I watched on TV. People listened on the radio. Every time Bush spoke, I mean, America was tuned right into what's going to happen right after. And I was right along with, yeah, go get them. A Patriot Act? Yes. Use it. I mean, you listen, you spy in, you do whatever you need to do. You don't need a search warrant. You just find them. That's how we all felt, right? And then five years afterwards, and it started to come to reality how that could have been used and what they can do and what they're doing right now. Listen, this is why I'm bringing this up, a Patriot Act refresher, because we are now using the tools on Americans.
The White House published its framework today for how it intends to combat one of the most pressing national security threats, domestic terrorism. It comes nearly 6 months after pro-Trump rioters overwhelmed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
During President Biden's first week in office, he directed the administration to undertake an assessment of the domestic terrorism threat and then to use that assessment to develop the national strategy being released today.
Okay, so there would even be people that heard that and went, well, domestic terrorists. You talking about the people that were breaking windows at the Capitol? Yeah, you don't need to use the Patriot Act. Get in their apartment, get in their house, get in their garage, see what they were looking after, right? Get their searches, see what they can do, the Patriot Act can do. They can look at records of an activity by an individual held by third parties, secret searches. They can expand a narrow exception to the Fourth Amendment. And that gets us into the FISA courts. So remember the FISA courts? We won't go too far into that. They can. It's really unchecked power, and that's what I've been saying for a long time, is that, yes, there is a sensible use of above and beyond United States citizens' rights that we have. If there was a foreign entity inside the United States and you need to use the Patriot Act to go after them or listen to their phone calls or whatever it is, if you have, you know, some reasoning why you would do something of that. But no. The unchecked government power to go through your records, mine. You know, right now, probably based on this show, they can be going through my house right now. They can be downloading anything they want off any computer, anything they want to do. They can tidy it all up and they can leave, and that's fine. And that's been going on, and I guess we don't know how long that's actually going on, right? Common laws require the government can't go into your property without telling you and got to give you a little notice before they execute a search, right? That's part of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. But the Patriot Act, that took all that kind of way we used to do it in America and just threw it out the window. Now you can go into your office, to your house, your apartment. When you're away, go through your property. Maybe they can get a little FISA search warrant to be able to go through there, unless you're Perkins Coy with Hillary Clinton. But then again, boy, this gets deep, doesn't it? They can take pictures. Take things even from you, replace it with something else, right? Not tell you till later. It's called sneak and peek power. Under the Patriot Act, the FBI can do a physical search or wiretap a United States citizen to get evidence of a crime without even proving probable cause. That's why the Fourth Amendment is actually there. So they'll go after domestic terrorists. Well, if you have proof that domestic terrorists are here, local law enforcement, state, FBI, yeah, go get them. But see, here we go now. The Patriot Act's now going to be used against parents at school boards.
Parents who've become fed up with these curriculum choices and mask mandates in schools, they've been increasingly showing up at school board meetings. So now the federal government says those same meetings are getting out of hand. This week, the Attorney General directed the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office to review what kind of threats school board members face. The Justice Department is saying these threats are increasing in communities coast to coast. So now the government even wants people to call them when they're concerned. Officials say threats should be reported to the FBI, and then they'll be reviewed by the National Threat Operations Center.
Okay. Thank you, Patriot Act. Little refresher of how it could be used in the future. Well, guess what? We're in the future. Here we are. From 2005 to now, this is the future. Here we are, future. Hi there, back there, past Trevor. Here's future Trevor. It's happening. This is the guy that co-authored the Patriot Act. Viet Dinh is his name.
We had a system of wiretapped authorizations that were first enacted in 1968. The USA Patriot Act ensured that law enforcement's authorization kept up to speed with the technologies.
All the technology, because, see, the government wouldn't open. They wouldn't be like, hey, let's get in this mailbox. Let's open this letter and read what he's writing. No, they kept up with technology, so it's a lot easier, right? You don't hear that email, that text ripping. It's invisible. They're looking at it. It even made this former FBI agent lead the FBI. And I can't praise him for who he works for now, but he works for the ACLU.
They didn't get any more leeway to investigate guilty people. What they got leeway to do is investigate people they didn't even suspect. And that's really the problem, because that opens the door to collecting on anyone.
And that's where we are right now with school boards across America. Isn't it crazy that's where we're at? Government harassment, man. It couldn't be any more obvious than what the city of Fresno is continuing to do to Adventure Church and Tower Theater. One Fresno. Seriously? More harassment. And I'll use the word persecution. We'll talk about it next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Our very own John Girardi and Central California Right to Life's very own John Girardi, where he's the executive director of, they're suing. They're suing the state of California over Senate Bill 742. And we'll have him on coming up at 4:30 on the show. 5:30, San Joaquin Valley Sun's Alex Tavlian. Newsom now, the vaccines, a fight with correctional officers. We'll get all into that as well. This is probably one of the most uncomfortable moments, and it couldn't have happened to two sweeter guys. Yeah, sweeter Ben and Jerry ice cream guys. With their voices here, I don't know which one's Ben and which one's Jerry. I couldn't tell you, but... that Axios HBO show was on, and listen here, he was all bragging about how, you know, any Israeli land with the Palestinians aren't free. We're not going to sell our ice cream, right?
What we're doing in terms of Israel. We hugely support Israel's right to exist, but we are against a particular policy.
You guys are big proponents of voting rights. Why do you still sell ice cream in Georgia? Texas, abortion bans. Why are you still selling there?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know what that would accomplish. We're working on those issues of voting rights and... I don't know. I think you ask a really good question, and I think I'd have to sit down and think about it for a bit.
Well, you just did on a TV show, and now we're all hearing it here. I wonder how many seconds it was. She asked, and he really sat there. And believe me, it's really hard to paint the picture, but just look at one of the Ben and Jerry guys that don't look like they do on the ice cream. That was 20 years ago, a lot older. And the perplexed look on his face of, well, I'm kind of, you know how your eyelids blink and kind of that stare glare away. Let's see how many seconds this is here.
Texas, abortion bans. Why are you still selling there?
1,001, 1,002. 1,003, 1,004, 1,000.
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know what
4.5 seconds.
What that would accomplish. We're working on those issues of voting rights and.
All right, enough with them. Isn't that funny? I love uncomfortable moments. Uncomfortable moments. This was kind of an uncomfortable moment when that mom here, the story last week, or was that the first of this week? She got that whole multi-million-dollar settlement, $4.9 million is what ABC30.com is saying. That was last week. Christina Lopez was her name. She faced 22 charges, mostly related to gang conspiracy. She was the mom whose son got the settlement because of the shooting with Fresno police. And then they were investigating another murder, and as they pieced it all together, it all came out that she was somehow associated with this. They're accusing her of using that part of the $4.9 million to fund another son's gang activity. A lot of that was monitored by these investigators. In one case, they said she transferred $1,000 to her teenage son to buy a gun. In another case, says she let her son take $1,200 from her house to buy another gun. And then a third said they were going to help her son dispose of three guns at someone else's house, but she noticed police already at the home. That's in ABC30.com here. Now, they got to know more than this because it's not against the law, I guess, you know, to give somebody money to buy a gun. Now, if you were buying it illegally, then yeah. And, teenage son. Yeah, okay. Anyhow, okay, that kind of says it all right there. In one case, the 1,000, the other case, 1,200. That's what we know right now. So we'll keep following this story here. Because quite a twist around to that as well. And some other news. Fresno County judge granted the city of Fresno access to the Tower Theater to conduct an inspection that must be available within the next 30 days. Okay, real quick, in case you don't know this, Adventure Church had been down in the Tower District for years during the COVID man-made lockdown. They over a decade, yeah. And they were in the Tower Theater Church, and they decided that they wanted to buy it. They made a deal with the owner, Lawrence, and they suddenly you got the city. And there were a couple council members that came down and started messing around with it. Then you had some dealings going on. Mayor Dyer, City of Fresno, said to the church, hey, why don't you not buy that? Because the LGBTQIA started to pressure and say, we want them out of there. We can't have a church influencing our artsy area and all of this. They were protested by Satanists. I saw all the pentagrams and all that. But that's the area of town. And now the city's all, this is a historic theater. And they've been trying to get in. And the owner and has stated, no, you can't. A judge said, no, you can't. Now a judge has said, yeah, go ahead. Why are they, and it's been months on months and months of people outside yelling vulgar things to earshot of little kids and grandmas and aunts and moms and brothers and dads and uncles and granddads. Come on, man. That's not one Fresno. That's appalling. That's ugly. That's the opposite of love for humanity. And you have this downtown city hall not standing up. And what's even more appalling is you don't have other churches helping, stepping up at all, putting pressure. You know, a lot of those churches, a lot of those people gave a lot of their money to the Jerry Dyer campaign, right? Who's standing up for Adventure Church? City of Fresno filed a court order to be allowed in. Let us in. Let us in. It was denied because of error in paperwork, Fresno B says. Fresno City leaders argued the historical status gives the city the power to review the building to preserve, promote, and improve historic resources and districts of the city of Fresno for educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the public. Well, they don't give a rat's crack that baby diapers are hanging off the side of 41. I saw where they were talking about glad the city, and yeah, I'm glad there's no more tent encampments, but there are still toilets. Yeah, there are toilets on the side of freeways. There are mattresses, and don't even get me going on the trash. But no, you want to do a court order to get inside a private business over the fact that it's a church now, harassing a church? It's a private sale of real estate. Funny how They care about preserving the past while the present goes to crap. You got the Sequoia Brewing Company all tied up in this. I used to like your guys' chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes. I still do, but not putting it into my mouth. Statewide school walkout Monday. I got more details on that coming up next year, and vaccinating your kids. Well, you know, leftists love CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta, don't they? He walked onto the Joe Rogan podcast, and I'm going to let you hear that conversation next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I guess I'm late to the action here. I don't have kids in school. Statewide school sit-out for teachers and student protests. The mandate's happening Monday. This Monday, they at the office of they. Who are they? The ones that are just fed up. Parents are keeping their kids out of school to show what will happen if they mandate a vaccine. You know what will happen? Somebody at the Department of Education will sit back with a clackulator, adding up how much money they lose. Right? They at the office of they who are frustrated say parents can do not excuse the absence. Don't call up and go, we're just not going to be in today. They said it would go against the purpose of the sit out. They said gaining traction. Some are even going to meet at the state capitol. Said locally here, some are going to meet at the Fresno County Health Department as well. Well, we'll see what happens. Can it be a replication of old Southwest Airlines, you think? Joe Rogan had Dr. Sanjay Gupta on, and the last time that I played you Dr. Sanjay Gupta, he was kind of going after Fauci here.
So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response.
I was like, what? What was that answer after all this time? You don't have a what?
No, that's a really good point. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that.
All right. Dr. Sanjay Gupta now on the other side of the microphone. He was being interviewed by Joe Rogan about kids and vaccines.
You think that even with a breakthrough infection, untreated, you're probably more vulnerable than the average child who is not vaccinated who gets COVID? You're not worried about catching it because you've been vaccinated and you think it imparts a certain amount of protection. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying to you is I think that not worry is the same feeling that a lot of people have about their children. They're not worried about their healthy children catching it for the same reason you're not worried about catching it being vaccinated.
All right. You following that point? That was good logic.
Don't you think that even with a breakthrough infection, untreated, you're probably more vulnerable than the average child who is not vaccinated who gets COVID? You're not worried about catching it because you've been vaccinated and you think it imparts a certain amount of protection. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying to you is I think that not worry is the same feeling that a lot of people have about their children. They're not worried about their healthy children catching it for the same reason you're not worried about catching it being vaccinated.
Yeah. Now, what he's talking about is the exact same attitude. Attitude means you can have your own belief system. And just because a belief system's on one side of this, do we say argument, debate? No, in a debate, you're actually going back and forth using science and facts. So it's not a debate. An argument, I guess maybe we call it that, right?
Well, are you suggesting I get boosted?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is your attitude about not being concerned because you have antibodies and you think you would get through it even if you had a breakthrough infection, that is the exact same attitude that a lot of young people have where they don't want to get a shot. Because they're worried about the consequences, even though they're incredibly small.
Consequences of the vaccine.
Incredibly small. But the VAERS report, they do have deaths.
Yes, they do. No one's talking about that. Well, he was with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And really why Joe Rogan was very upset at the network that Dr. Sanjay Gupta works for, CNN, is You probably remember the horse drug, the animal drug, ivermectin. You know how they call it, all of that. Big lie. And he called him out on it. Dr. Sanjay Gupta finally got him to the point where he got into the point where he said, hey, Kat, you're the top doc over at CNN. What are you doing?
Horse dewormer's not a flattering thing. I get
it's
that.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network. And it's a lie that's a willing, that's a lie that they're conscious of. This is not a mistake.
Yeah.
They're unfavorably framing it as veterinary medicine, a drug that was responsible for one of the inventors of it making the
Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize in 2015.
15, yeah.
Why would they lie and say that's horse dewormer? I can afford people medicine. This is ridiculous. But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got
this
it with
right
you.
Here.
Hmm. Wow, isn't that something? Dr. Sanjay Gupta being called out over the ivermectin lying that was going on. And he didn't let him go. He didn't let him go, man. He kept coming back with direct questions. And I think Gupta, being someone that interviews people, thought maybe he'd be a little quicker and wouldn't get so caught with this. But I knew he had him when he goes, wait, you're going so fast here, Joe Rogan.
The thing is, we're like going so fast. Like, I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think that's a problem, that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude,
what did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah.
They
shouldn't have said it was horse. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication.
Ah, Gupta, did you just hear what he said? Ivermectin can be a very effective medication. Go do a Sacramento Bee, Fresno Bee. Go do a search on any of those about ivermectin and see how it's been ridiculed. Listen to Gupta. He goes on here. And this is a doctor. And I said, man, we got to present all sides of this. Dr. Sanjay Gupta. And he on ivermectin, supporting what many have been ridiculed for. But listen to Joe Rogan. He's not going to let him off the hook with why CNN lied and why did they lie? Why did they lie?
A quarter billion people have taken it around the world.
More,
I get that.
Way more.
So
way more. Billions of people have taken it.
Can I just come back to the one I want to talk about? Two things
you
on
have
the ledger.
To, you have, before we get to that, does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied, outright lied about me taking horse dewormer?
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Good.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming
on
the podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
I watched.
He admitted they shouldn't have done that. And I also found this interesting. And if you've listened to this show and you take notes at home, I think there's three people maybe. But if you've done, and if you've ever heard the name Peter Daszak, right? I played you all that with the Eco Health Alliance and Fauci. And at the first of the year, I introduced many to this man here that I found out by someone that listens to the show sending it to me. Thank you for that. But I found this very interesting, that Dr. Sanjay Gupta knows him very well. Listen to him. He calls him Peter. And they're talking about Peter Daszak, Eco Health Alliance, the one that Senator Rand Paul called Fauci out for lying about doing gain-of-function research, which made a virus more deadly, more susceptible to humans, and covered it up, right? Listen to this. And about how they destroyed an entire database in 2019.
That's worrisome. And I said that to Peter. I said, Peter, this is not making sense.
And what did he say?
He said, hey, there's no evidence that the virus ever existed in this lab. There's no evidence that it leaked out of the lab.
Well, that's because they destroyed a lot of evidence.
This is concerning.
They deleted in how much evidence did they delete in 2019? Some stunning amount.
Well, the entire database went down.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I said, I said to him, you were part of the WHO investigation. Did you see the database now? It's been over a year later. He said, no. When I said, is that not of concern to you? He said, look, he goes, it was a public database. They were worried about hacking, and so that's why they took it down. I said, if it was a public database, why were they worried about hacking? You know, what were they trying to hide?
What he's talking about is they got rid of all the evidence. That's breaking news right there. in normal times. That would be staggering news right there about that database. It should be staggering news. Listen to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and I love to play him because amongst those doubters out there, the ones that listen to the show but disagree with probably 75%, 80, 85, 90, 99% of what I say, you give this guy cred. I know you do. I know you do. When you see him on at the airport, you look up, you feel confident. Yeah, you like that guy, huh?
And you're going to essentially do a, you know, use the backbone of another known bad pathogen, and you're going to splice them together, essentially. You're taking one thing that you know to be bad and contagious and splicing it with something else that you know to be bad. That is, you're expecting this to be worse than what you started with. If you're taking a novel virus and you don't know how contagious this is, but the strict definition is that you got to know for gain-of-function research, you know that it's going to lead to gain-of-function.
It's going to lead to gain-of-function, meaning making it more deadly. Why would anybody do that?
May I see your papers?
Oh, okay.
I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'd have to ask you to come along.
Yeah, I really like the fact that Joe Rogan went after Dr. Sanjay Gupta about the child vaccinations. And we know more. The mask. I know how it is as a grown-up, right? We know how this is. It changes the way that we are dynamic and talking with people, right? It's like having a conversation back in the day when somebody would have on dark sunglasses and it just wouldn't feel right, right? You couldn't see their eyes. Now you can't really see much of anything. They say until about age 14, kids are developing their facial recognition skills. I think it goes on longer than that. The Atlantic said some worry that it can lead to challenges with socialization and communication. Oh, you think? You think? They said for children who are meeting new classmates for the first time while masked, it's trouble harder to get to know who they are. The Atlantic talked about this teacher who's also a parent, said her kid came home and said, I can't make any friends because the next day I really don't listen. It's the same mask. I'm having trouble remember who they are. This is a very sad story of Massachusetts public elementary school system. The teacher's now using a headset and a portable speaker to project her voice through the mask. You want me to let it get a little crazier?
People aren't regulated.
I know. Now we're not going to have any kids to have to worry about in this town up in Canada. And anything that happens in Canada, that just goes to show that some whacked out liberal got this idea and got enough people to sign off on it that you're like, oh, no. You know, we thought all this was going to stay on the universities. Right? The word snowflakes, didn't that go away real quick? That melted, man. That melted because suddenly they became Marxist rebels across the country. They became icicles, sharpened, pointed. Ouch. What are you doing to this country? All right, so far this isn't this country, but maybe I shouldn't even throw the idea out there. They're demanding people show proof of vaccinations to get married. A Canadian city requiring proof, Oakville, Ontario, proof of identification and proof of full COVID vaccination. If you want to, we got to start the category of medical tyranny, right? You can't get married unless you are fully vaccinated. They admit that it demands more than the province demands, but they want to provide added protection to the community. That's what the town staff sent out. They said that we thought that this would protect us all. Well, you know what? I thought that that was what the vaccine was supposed to do.
Why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place?
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, here's one of the sickest stories. The Cleveland Clinic, that's a big old surgery center, world-renowned, right? They're going to require both transplant donors and the recipient to have the vaccine. And a 52-year-old guy is dying from kidney failure. And he'd been on the list for years. And they found a match last October, and it almost killed him in March. And suddenly that one didn't work. And in June of this year, the prayers were answered. The family and Michael, the 52-year-old man, they did the test. And by early August, the transplant team said his kidney was a viable match. October 4th, they met with doctors for the pre-op, scheduled the surgery for yesterday. On October 8th, after looking for a matching donor, and just 5 days before the transplant, the surgery canceled.
New safety protocol.
This 52-year-old man needs a kidney. And the guy that needs a kidney actually has the vaccine, but it turns out the donor doesn't. The transplant team has known this for months. They told ABC News 5 in Cleveland it was never an issue. Not one doctor we ever met with mentioned this was an issue. They did try, he said, tried to persuade me to get the shot. He said the transplant team has been sympathetic, even apologetic, but the doctor's hands are tied by the clinic's rules. It's happening in Denver. UC Healthcare requiring transplant recipients have the vaccine as well. I mean, they're not even going to let them, like, sign a letter, right, or some kind of waiver, right? Unvaccinated, sign a medical waiver, accept the risk, right? No, let this person die. Let them die. This is where we're at. Politicians, elected officials, how do you know this is going on? And take photo ops. How do you know that this is going on? And believe me, there were a lot of people that actually believe this.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it be mandatory.
And no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
We're not counting on vaccine mandates at all.
Those are decisions the federal government is not going to make.
You're not going to see a central mandate coming from the federal government.
That's not the role of the federal government.
You know, at the federal level, I don't have the authority to either mask mandate or vaccine mandate. That's not what we do at the federal level.
There's no secret that I feel that we should not have central mandates from the federal government.
I wouldn't anticipate that we would be putting requirements on private sector companies.
I don't think you'll ever see a mandating of vaccine, particularly for the general public.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
Hopefully people will take it upon themselves to exert that social pressure to make sure that everyone complies.
Well, Dr. Vohra, where people are feeling social pressure, they're being told to shut up. Remember I told you about the NBA guy broke the nets, Kyrie Irving. He said that he wasn't going to take the vaccine. So they said, well, you're not going to be able to play in New York and San Francisco and LA and blah, 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 all these other places that have the Russian national anthem playing at their home games. You can't play. And I was saying, well, how long are they going to let that happen? Well, about 48 hours. That's about what it took. Brooklyn Nets general manager announced he will neither play any games nor participate in any practices until he's been vaccinated and compliant with former Governor Cuomo, right? Yeah, he's still making an imprint with New York's virus policies. Looked like at the start they're going to allow him to play in places where he actually could play, but now that's come to an end. This is a two-tier society. Here we go. Let's put that in the two-tier society file over there. The CEO of United Airlines went from 59% of their employees to 99% of their employees being vaccinated in less than 2 weeks.
We need to get vaccinated.
Well, I guess it works, right? You pressure. Biden said in a speech he was looking for like 99%. That was in that speech where he did the whole Fox News, even give me a break. Fox News has it, right? It's real funny, Joe, unless you've, like, I don't know, lost your job over it. There was a 14-year news anchor that was fired over refusing to get the vaccine. She said, I lost my job, but I preserved my integrity. It's sad. And these are so many stories like this. This lady, Megan Gray, a news anchor down in Biloxi, Mississippi. And their station ownership, Gray Television, mandated that they have it. She decided not to. And she'd done Good Morning Mississippi for 15 years. All those people getting up in the morning knew Megan. She loved it there in Biloxi. And now she just doesn't have a job. She even tried to keep it. She said, I'll get tested every week. Come on, grab a swab. Stick it up at the base of my brain. And poke away. I'm willing to play along or go along or say that, yeah, if I'm sick, I do want you to know about it. So go ahead and test me. That's fine, right? No. There's no middle ground. No middle ground at all. She said, I know in my heart it's the right decision for me and my family. I may have lost my job, but I preserve my integrity. Bless her heart. COVID mandates were never meant for those that actually created the mandates. We're going to talk about that next.